Hello and welcome to the Life in Japan podcast by Gogo Nihon. My name is Sam and I will be your host. In this podcast, we will be talking about life in Japan as foreign residents, sharing our experiences about learning Japanese, traveling, working, visas, culture, and everything else we encounter in our day-to-day lives. There are actually quite a lot of Japanese people who have never left the country, and if you look at what Japan has to offer, that's actually not so surprising. In Europe, people often go to Switzerland during winter or to Italy during summer and London for a city trip, but Japan actually ticks all of those boxes within its borders. If you want a tropical escape, you can go to Okinawa. If you want to visit Winter Wonderland, you can go to Hokkaido. And if you want to explore a new city, you can just take the Shinkansen in any direction for 2 hours to the next town. Today's guest is Felipe from Brazil, and he's been here for 7 years, and one of his hobbies is traveling around Japan, so we have invited him today to talk about the best ways to enjoy domestic travel in Japan, mainly focusing on the different forms of transportation, since that is one of the most challenging aspects in my opinion. So, Felipe, hi.
Hello.
Good to talk to you again on this podcast. Could you quickly introduce yourself for the ones who might have forgotten?
Yes, like you mentioned, my name is Felipe, I came from Brazil. I used Gogo Nihon to come here to study many years ago, 7 years ago I came here, and then after learning the language at Intercultural Institute, I was then hired by Gogo Nihon to work for the Brazilian market to support them. And it's been now 5 years at Gogo Nihon, 7 years in Japan, and a lot of travels across this country.
Some of those travels we actually did together, fun fact. And we want to talk about mainly the transportation modes today, because between you and me, I think we've probably covered most of them, except maybe riksha.
Yes.
Have you ever traveled by jinriksha?
I think no.
Me neither. But I think the other ones we basically got covered. So what makes traveling in Japan so exciting to you?
It's so convenient. I think that's like the main thing, especially as you are talking, like in Europe, you already have this network of trains, of buses, and everything is very close. But if you come from other regions, like in Latin America, everything is so far away. It's simply like not possible for you to like jump in a train and go somewhere. It's either everything either by bus and very long rides. Mm-hmm. Like I remember just like going from São Paulo to Brasília, which is the capital of Brazil, was like almost 12-hour bus ride.
12?
Yeah, just to visit the capital of the country.
There was no plane?
We couldn't get a plane, but it was extremely expensive. And that's the thing. Either you take a plane, or you're talking about like dozens of hours of bus. Mm-hmm. If you want to visit, let's say, faraway areas, like the first time I went from São Paulo to Paraguay was almost like an entire day inside the bus.
Even though it's the same continent.
Bus. Yeah, by bus, and like the roads are not the best, everything is very far away. And then you come here to Japan where like, if you take a Shinkansen, you go like to amazing places, like completely different to like biomes, like you leave Tokyo and you go to a snowy mountain to do ski, and that takes like 1 hour of Shinkansen. It's insane.
That's
it's fantastic.
Best. We've both gone skiing or snowboarding this past winter. And I went by bus to Kusatsu Onsen, and you went by Shinkansen to Galayuzawa, I think?
Yes, Galayuzawa.
Yes. So we both live in Tokyo, but it only took us, I guess the bus took a little bit longer. I think it took me 2.5 or 3 hours to get there. And for you, you said 1 hour?
It takes 1 hour. From the Tokyo station, you board the Shinkansen, and it's insane because Tokyo was like already, I think it was March, so starting of spring, and then you take the Shinkansen, and in 1 hour, you're in the top of a mountain, getting your snowboard ready for you to go down the hills. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's wild. And the snowboard season here is so long, like even far into March, in some places, you can still snowboard. What makes traveling in Japan really attractive to me is also how safe it is. Like, in Europe, like I said, you would always be traveling to a different country, so you have to be aware of like local customs and local people. Maybe there's pickpockets, maybe there aren't. But in Japan, it's still Japan. Even though it's like a completely different environment, it's still Japan, and you know that you're safe. You know that nobody will steal your stuff, and you know that if you take a taxi in the middle of nowhere, nothing will happen to you. So that's definitely one of my favorite things. But like you say, the nature is just so diverse here because Japan is obviously a volcanic island. So the coasts are flat and then the inland is super hilly and like lots of mountains. Then in the south, we have Okinawa, which is tropical. And in the north, which is bordering Russia, we basically have like almost a Russian climate, right? Hokkaido gets really, really cold in winter and stays nice and cool during summer. So there's just so much variety within this country. And then it's also just convenient because the trains are convenient and the transportation is clean and everything. So it's just the perfect country, basically, for domestic travel.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, even some places, like in a very small scale, you feel it. So, for example, when I went to Nikko, I took the Shinkansen to Nikko. It was a very short trip. And inside Nikko, you have like the base of the mountain where all the temples are. But then you take like a short bus trip of like, I think, half an hour up the mountain. Mm-hmm. When you reach the top with the lake, it's a completely different climate. I went from like a sunny day to a bit of a snowstorm.
True.
And it was like minus 15 degrees there.
Whoa.
Yeah, and on the base of the mountain, it was like 5 degrees. So it was like a really shocking difference in temperature, in weather, in just a little, like.
Yeah, it's not a gradual climb. Like a lot of the hills in Europe where I'm from are pretty gradual. But the Alps, I guess, are also pretty steep. So that's where you also experience lots of different climates or temperatures, I guess, in one place. But in Japan, it's kind of similar, where you can just go from, what did you say, 5 to minus 15?
Yeah.
In like, you know, a short bus ride. Did you take the cable car when you were up, I guess, in Nikko?
No, I didn't.
I took the cable car. So that's one more mode of transportation covered. It's quite nice. And then you go even higher where the bus can't reach and probably another 5 degrees added or subtracted, I guess.
Yeah, the snowstorm didn't let me take the cable car. I really wanted to. But
I see. Yeah, okay, of course. So let's have a look at what different modes of transportations are available in Japan. So obviously, what's the first thing everybody thinks of?
The Shinkansen.
So when you first took the Shinkansen, did you think it was worth the hype?
It was so much worth the hype. The first trip I did was from Tokyo to Kansai. I went to Osaka. Mm-hmm. And it was like that perfect trip because I went with a friend and she planned everything. So a tip for everyone, when you're going from Tokyo to Kansai, sit on the right side of the Shinkansen so you can see the Fuji.
Mount Fuji view.
And that's like part of the experience, you're in the Shinkansen, mm-hmm. seeing the Fuji, eating like the little lunch box that they prepare for
Eki
the...
Ben. Eki
exactly.
is station and Ben is for bento, so they're very, very famous.
And they're so cute. And like it's the experience, eating that, seeing the Fuji in the Shinkansen is such like a magical experience.
Drinking a beer, maybe, depending on the time of day, or asking some snacks. There's always a lady parading down the snacks down the aisle, and you can just get them at any time. And they're basically the same price as if you were to buy them at the convenience store. And did you see recently there's been a pretty viral bento in Japan at Tokyo Station? There is a bento where you pull a string, and after you pull the string, the bento just warms up. And then it's like steaming hot afterwards, and you can just eat a hot meal.
No, I never saw that, but sounds Sasuga Japan. It's like what you expect of the country, yes.
Just anything to just get that extra convenience. And they're not even that expensive. So my experience with Shinkansen was a little bit different. What mostly surprised me was actually how clean they were and that they were on time. Because in Europe, like you said, we have a pretty good transportation system, like we're well connected with trains. And I mean, some of them are faster than others. But what really annoys me about the trains in Europe is that they're never on time and that they're pretty dirty. But in Japan, very, very clean trains, on time, amazing system inside where you can see which seats are taken, which seat is yours. Of course, it's very fast, but I don't know, like, it didn't feel that fast to me almost. So maybe I had ridden a fast train before in my life. But one thing, though, is the price of Shinkansen.
Yes.
It's actually really expensive.
Yeah, it's so much expensive that, like, in many places, it's cheaper to take the plane, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy because the plane, not only you have to go to the airport, but you have all to go to all the safety procedures and everything and wait a lot of time. So it sounds way more expensive, but it's actually cheaper to go by plane sometimes.
Yep, that's crazy. And that brings us to our next mode of transportation, which is air travel. So air travel, like you say, cheaper for some reason, but a little bit more mendoksai, which means a pain in the bum, because of you have to get to the airport and then you have to go through security. You cannot bring your liquids and all of that stuff. And then, of course, the airports are oftentimes far away from the city center. So you then have to add another hour to your travel. But of course, the plane is faster, so maybe it evens out in the end. And have you been to Fukuoka?
No, never to Fukuoka.
It's crazy because Fukuoka, Hakata, I think, Hakata Airport is in the middle of the city, like city center. I don't know how, but it was two stations from like the Shinkansen station.
Yeah, and in Tokyo, in the meanwhile, they are super far away. So when I went to Sapporo, it was actually kind of frustrating because to get from my house to the airport.
Which airport?
I went to Narita.
Narita, yeah.
From my house to the airport was a longer time than the time that the plane stayed
yes.
in the air.
I know what you mean. Well, if you look at the map, Narita is so far away, and it's actually not even in Tokyo, it's in Chiba Prefecture. So far away, so if you can choose between the two airports, you should definitely choose Haneda, because it is easier and more convenient, but oftentimes there are more flights out of Narita, and they're cheaper, so... Yeah, when I flew to Sapporo, I also flew out of Narita. So the Shinkansen is obviously a special kind of train, but there's also the normal local trains, right? So inside Tokyo, we would be taking the Chikatetsu, which is the subway, or the JR lines, which are the, I guess, supposed to be above ground, even though sometimes they're not. But basically, different companies own the different train lines. And it is actually possible to get to destinations far away that you would usually go to by Shinkansen with local trains, which then of course will add many, many hours to your journey because it stops along the way, but a lot cheaper potentially depending on where you go.
And also you don't have to go that far away. Like I live in the north area of Tokyo, and for me it's crazy that like the local train, the same train that I used to come to work, I can board it on the other direction and go to Saitama or go to almost Guma. And then explore a lot of really interesting areas. So like if you want to hike around the area, you can go, let's say, to Tsukuba Mountain, to Mount Mitake, Mount Takao. If you want to just like walk around like the very beautiful areas, you have Nagatoro, which is a park full of nice little lakes. And Nagatoro is like a direct train from my train station. Like I don't even change lines or anything. I just board the Tobotojo and go in the other direction for like 1 hour. And I'm in a completely different area of Japan, a completely different environment. It's really fascinating, just like you can go anywhere.
That's true. So like I said, different companies own different trains and different tracks. And oftentimes it's the case that one company owns a certain part, but then that exact train turns into a train of a different company because it crosses a certain border. One example would be the Fukutoshin line, which goes all the way from the city of Wako in Saitama through Tokyo, like the major areas, Shibuya, for example, and then it turns from Shibuya onwards into the Tokyu Toyoko line, which is again owned by a different company, and it goes all the way to downtown Yokohama. So that's three prefectures in one train line, and it goes actually a long distance all the way from north to south.
And it's crazy because you can go all the way, let's say, if you're in the middle of Tokyo, you take this line, you can go to the mountains to hike, you can go to the beach to have like some fun in Enoshima or something like this, and it's the same line.
True, exactly. And that's the fun part about local travel around Tokyo is the normal trains will do just fine and they bring you anywhere you want to go. So last year when we went to Hakone, we took the romance car. I'm not sure why they decided to call it that. I guess many couples potentially go to Hakone for like a weekend away because it is an onsen town in the middle of the mountains close to Fujisan. And that is a special express train that basically connects Tokyo and Hakone specifically. So there are also certain special trains that you can take. And those are by reservation. So you actually have to purchase a ticket in advance, and you have to make sure that you have a reservation, because otherwise you don't get to board that train.
Yeah, there's a very similar one to go to the Fujisan. So if you want to go like to Yamanashi and explore the areas around the Fuji, you take also like a special green car.
Kawaguchiko, right?
Yeah.
I think, didn't we go together? And then we didn't know that we needed a special ticket, and then we stood.
Yes, yeah. That's also something we should mention, that like we talk about trains, we talk about Shinkansen, but if you're traveling to in a very busy period, either you book your seat or you're going to have to stand up the whole trip.
Yep, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. And obviously the local trains you cannot book, but things like the romance car or that special car that goes to Kawaguchiko or the Shinkansen, those of course you need a reservation. Like a special seat, basically. So your Suica, which is the local transportation card, will not be enough. So personally, I've never taken a night bus before, but you have.
Yes, I took a night bus all the way from Tokyo to Kanazawa, which is like on the other side of the island. And it was a very good experience. Like, I'm used to taking a lot of buses in Brazil, and it was so comfortable here, so cheap. And because it was a night bus, I left Shinjuku station at night, I think like 11 p.m., and arrived, I think, 7 in the morning in Kanazawa.
Oh, wow.
So I save on the hotel money.
So
I save
8 hours?
Yeah, it's a long trip, and they stop along the way in Nagano. I remember it was like 3 in the morning, and I went for a walk, and it was snowing. It was a very nice experience. Go to the Jihanki, get a little hot coffee.
Yeah, there are toilet breaks, so, and the stations along the highways are actually super fun, because you have a konbini, a bunch of restaurants,
the
souvenir
omiyage,
shops,
yes.
oftentimes a Starbucks, lots of like clean toilets, so it's quite nice to stop. But I think the night buses also have toilets on board, right?
Yeah, they have toilets on board, and the seats, they go down like almost to become a bed, and you have like little curtains to protect yourself like from the light of other people. Mm-hmm. So it was extremely comfortable. It was very cheap, and we saved the money on the hotel as well.
True.
So it's something like I really recommend if people want to travel like more on a budget, is a very good option.
A lot of those long distance buses, for example, the night bus, there's also women only buses, or I think they're by department. So some of the, like a portion of the bus will only be for women. So it's quite nice for women as well to travel.
Yeah, buses are really cheap. The only problem that they have is the traffic, especially if you're moving in and out of Tokyo. Like, we saved a lot of money taking the bus, but because we were traveling, like, especially if you're traveling like Golden Week or a big holiday.
Or Sunday evening or Friday evening, I guess.
Yes. The trip that by train should be only like 1 hour, by bus is going to be like 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only downside.
And it's annoying because you're just standing. So the whole time you're just like nervously looking out the window, like, why isn't this moving? And then you get nervous about catching your last train home from where the bus stops in Tokyo as well.
Yeah, so you just have to be prepared that like there will be these problems, that maybe you'll be like, I should have paid more for the train.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also an option. And another moment where we have to face traffic was renting a car, right?
Yeah. So we made that mistake once or twice, where we rented the car in Tokyo and then drove the car to a certain place and then came back and returned the car in Tokyo. And then we learned our lesson really quickly.
Yes.
Because we were stuck in traffic for so long.
So the trick that we learned is that you all take the train or like the subway to a very far away place, like midway outside of Tokyo already, and then you rent your car there. So you don't have to deal with exiting the metropolitan area.
Exactly, because that's where the traffic is worst. One of the examples where I did it right was when I took the train to Odawara, which is pretty close to Tokyo, and it's a direct line from a lot of places actually in Tokyo, but it's down by the coast. It's like, I think past Yokohama and outside of the metropolitan area. So then we went there and then we rented a car in Odawara, which is still like metropolitan enough for there to be multiple rental car places. And then from there, we just drove around the whole Izu Peninsula, which is a really nice area down in Shizuoka Prefecture. And and close to Tokyo, but somehow the nature there is very almost tropical, I want to say. It's like super beautiful. There's corals and fish and beautiful like coastal mountains, so very nice area, and not very convenient for trains unless you go to the main areas such as Atami, which is famous. But if you want to drive around and see like the beautiful nature around there and the beautiful beaches that the locals go to, then it's best to drive the car. And also there's a skyline there that you basically ride in order to cross the mountains from Odawara to the south of the Izu Peninsula. And the skyline there, you have a wonderful view on Mount Fuji. So super recommended.
There were so many places that we went by car that we had like an amazing view or an amazing experience that you only get by car, especially when we're going up the mountains.
In Fukushima?
Yeah, in Fukushima, when we went to Matsumoto, there was like many places. One place we went is like that famous lake that people saw in the movie. Oh my God.
It was the Makoto Shinkai movie, Kimi no Na wa, Your Name.
Exactly. On that movie, there's that famous lake that is so important to the plot. And you can only reach that same view that they have in the movie if you go up by car. And,
exactly.
And there are several museums, parks, and interesting areas that you can only see from there. And having a car just really helps to explore these places.
Yeah, and you also just get to see so much more of the country than you would otherwise. And there are buses to those like really famous locations, like for example, Ōuchijuku in Fukushima Prefecture. It's like this really nice postal town in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the mountains. Yeah. But because it's kind of touristy, there are buses that go there, but they go like maybe once a every, what was it, 3 to 4 hours?
Yeah, I actually had a problem like this when I went to Shirakawa-go, which is like a very famous historical village. Really interesting, but they have very few buses that go there. Mm-hmm. We went by bus, but then we kept like exploring. We went for dinner there and we missed the last bus.
Oh no.
So we had to take a cab all the way back to the city, and it was so expensive and it was so hard to get one. We had to share it. It was a really bad experience that we wouldn't have if we simply had rented a car. It would have been cheaper than the cab that we took.
Actually, renting a car here is pretty cheap. It's, I think we pay usually between 6,000 and 8,000 yen per day. And of course, that's taking all of the insurances just to be safe. And one thing we should probably recommend is for people to maybe not get the little box cars. They're called like a K-class car. And they are very tiny, very, very cheap little cars. But the problem is, if you want to rent a car in the mountains, these cars actually have a lot of trouble going up the mountain, as we experienced.
Another thing we should mention regarding this is the license, right? Because you have a Japanese license that you took here in Japan, but you can use an international license as well, right?
Yes, but the international license, I think you just get it in your home country and then it's valid for like 1 year or something. And you can, even as a tourist, drive and rent cars in Japan, but basically only for 1 year. As far as I understood, in your whole life, only for 1 year in Japan.
And not every country has this, so if you're Brazilian, I'm very sorry, you cannot get an international license for Japan.
I guess most European countries can. And one interesting thing about Japan is I have a Japanese driver's license, but I didn't have to do any of the tests here, because if you get your license in certain countries, you can basically just transfer it over into a Japanese license. So some American states are eligible, most European countries, I guess anywhere where traffic safety is high. And apparently some states in America don't quite cut it, because I think if you're from Maryland, then you can get the license transfer over, or if you're from Washington State. But a lot of the states in the middle of America, they do not actually allow the transfer into a Japanese license.
And now I have a question for you, since you drive here. How is driving on the other side of the road?
It was challenging in the beginning because I was nervous about it. But actually, since we also walk on the left side and we ride our bikes on the left side, it's actually not that bad. You get used to it really quickly. But as you probably remember, whenever I would turn on the turn signal, my windshield wipers would activate instead, because those also switch places.
Okay, so you took the license in your home country. How was the process to do the transfer?
Yes. So I had my driver's license since I was 17, but I got it back in Belgium. And basically, if you want to get the license in Japan, you have to get an official translation from your driver's license from your home country. And then you have to prove that you lived in your home country after the license was valid for at least 3 months. So it's kind of strange because they just assume that since you had a license and you were there for 3 months, that means you must have driven there during those 3 months. So you are actually an experienced driver, which is not the case for everybody, obviously. But for me, I drove for a long time because I lived in the boonies. But what I did was use my university transcripts because it had the dates that I attended university in Belgium clearly written on it. And then it was basically just a whole bunch of forms and a whole bunch of waiting. You have to go to the licensing office with your official translation, with a document proving that you were in that country for 3 months, with your residence card and your passport, and then fill in a bunch of forms. And then they walk you through, I think it was like a 12-step thing of one step does the document, one step takes your photo, one step tests your eyes and your hearing. And then you wait and they issue it same day. You get your license. The first time I actually had to take any sort of test in Japan related to driving was 3 years after I got my license, because every 3 years you change your status, either in the good direction or in the bad direction. So you start off with a green license, which means you're a beginner driver. And then after 3 years, if you had zero incidents, you get a blue license. After another 3 years, you get a gold license, unless you had an incident, and then you get demoted.
And all of this was done in Japanese, because you're very Nihongo Jozu.
Jozu desu ne.
But how do you think this is like possible and approachable for someone who's coming to Japan with like a very basic knowledge? Can you go into like a rental car office and get a car with no Japanese?
Yes, I want to say. So the process at the licensing office was fairly straightforward. I think if you do your research before, you know what to bring. You kind of expect them to ask certain questions and then you can provide the documents. So that was fine. Now, renting a car, I think they have documents in English, potentially. I've only ever seen the Japanese documents, but I know that a bunch of tourists rent cars here, so I think they also have English documents available. Now, of course, the staff will likely not speak English, so it's going to be a little bit of communicating with hands and feet. I guess it could become a big issue if you actually have an accident here, and then you have to deal with the police, and you have to call insurance and stuff like that, so that could be an issue. But even the test I did at the licensing office after those 3 years that I had my green license and then I transferred to the blue license, it was all in Japanese. So not super easy, I guess, but maybe they can provide an interpreter. I'm not too sure about that, to be honest.
So we talk about cars, we talk about planes, we talk about trains. What about boats?
Boats, right.
It's so, an island.
Obviously, Japan's an island. Have you ever taken a boat here?
Only the small cruise to Odaiba.
Ah, yes. That's pretty cute. From Asakusa to Odaiba.
Yeah, it looks like a little submarine. It's so cute.
Yeah, I know. They're made to be like so futuristic. But it's nice because the windows are like all around. So you can see Skytree when you're right under it and stuff like that. And yeah, Rainbow Bridge.
Just the Tokyo Bay is so pretty.
Yeah, so pretty. Definitely recommended. And there's also restaurant boats where you can just fry stuff in front of you on a hot plate while being on a restaurant boat. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, actually, one of those boats I took, there was a huge party with a bunch of Japanese people singing karaoke and village people. They were like, why? It was
so
a really interesting experience.
And then ferry-wise, or I guess like actual boat-wise, I once took the boat from Tokyo to one of the major islands south of Tokyo. And they're far, actually. When you look at the map, they are very far. The most famous one and the biggest one, I guess, is Oshima, which means big island. And we went to Shikinejima, which is a really, really tiny island close to Oshima. And it's very, very nice, very tropical. We saw like sea turtles and everything. And that's the time we took a speedboat. And it was fast. But it was still a 3.5-hour journey because it was very, very far. But the speedboat was really fast and quite the experience, actually. Very, very nice, very fast. And then when you arrive, it's basically because the island is so small, the biggest form of transportation there is that one boat, and then the rest you can almost walk or bike around the island. So that was very cool. Definitely recommend if you have the chance.
A lot of those places that you go that are far away, that you take a plane, you take a train there, I always want, when I arrive, to get a bike, to bike around,
yes,
because Japan is such a nice country to bike, especially because it's flat inside the cities, so you can go anywhere. It's like a very nice views.
Yeah, I rented a bike in Fukuoka, and it was very straightforward, just with an app. You know how there's just like a bunch of bikes standing around, and then you unlock one of them with an app, and then you drive it around. That was great, especially for a city like Fukuoka, which is very bikeable because it's pretty small and, like you say, pretty flat. So if you go to Fukuoka, I think they're called Meruchari. So there's Merukari, which is like the eBay of Japan, and Chari is like almost slang for bicycle. So they combined Merukari and Chari, and they made it Meruchari.
Yeah, just be careful if you're listening, because Japan has a lot of rules for bicycles that are not common in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're living in the country and you buy a bike, you have to register.
Yes.
You have to follow some traffic laws. So just be careful and check that before.
Because the police will stop you and they will ask you for your registration. So Felipe, now that we've talked about most of the modes of transportation in Japan, what would you say out of all of them is the cheapest?
The cheapest for me, for sure, is the night bus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like not only the price is very cheap, but you also save on hotel if you plan it right.
True.
And because like it's not stuck to the tracks, you can go anywhere. There's a lot. If you go to Shinjuku Station, there are so many night buses to everywhere.
Yes.
Even if you want to go, let's say, to Kansai, instead of taking the train or the Shinkansen, you can take a very long bus ride.
Mm-hmm. And which one would you say is the easiest?
The easiest, for sure, the local trains, because, you know, like, especially if you are in Japan, if you have the Suica or the Pasmo, those cars, you just touch them on the entrance, ride the train, and you're there. You know, there's no need to check-ins or anything. It's really useful, really convenient.
Definitely agree. And which one's the most convenient?
Convenient, for sure, the Shinkansen, especially when you're comparing it with the planes. It's something that I'm very excited that they are now finishing the Shinkansen all the way to Sapporo.
Yes.
So you don't have to take the plane anymore. Because, like, of course, the Shinkansen is not as fast as the plane, but you cut all the time with going to the airport, doing the check-in, waiting for the arrival, mm-hmm. and all those things.
And you get the pretty views.
Exactly. It's such an amazing experience. Of course, once again, please book a seat. Otherwise, you're going to have to stand up the whole trip.
Yes.
And standing up all the way from Tokyo to Sapporo is not a good experience.
That seems like torture.
Yes.
For me, I think the most convenient is definitely the car. But that's because oftentimes when I travel, because I've been to all the major places, I often just go to the smaller areas. And in the smaller areas, there's not that much local transportation because there's no need for it, basically. So if you have a car, it's very convenient because also you can just go to the konbini, like drive by the konbini if somebody wants a snack, or the local supermarket, and just everything is so fast and so convenient if you go by car. So if you have a license and if you're going to stay in Japan for at least a year, it makes sense to get the international license or even get the Japanese license when you're here.
Yeah, I think traveling with you with a car was a very good experience in the point that like we can make our own pace.
Yes.
You don't have to, let's say, you go to a touristic location in a bus, and then you have to wait 2 hours for everyone to get down the bus, check, and like maybe you didn't like that place very much and you want to check another place, but you have to wait for everyone to get back on the bus. And for us, there was a bunch of places that we went that were beautiful and we just stayed longer. There were places we didn't like that we didn't even get out of the car. We just like, and then continue the trip.
And there were places we didn't even mean to go to, but we happened to drive by, and then we saw that it was a cool place, and then we just drove the car there, and then visited, and saw that it was really, really fun. And actually, some of the most beautiful places I've been to, like I mentioned earlier, the skyline where you have the Mount Fuji view. We were driving on the highway, enjoying the Fuji view, and then we saw, while driving by, that there was a swing set facing Mount Fuji in the sunset, and we stopped the car immediately and went on the swing and took a bunch of amazing photos.
Yeah, and also, if you are an otaku and you have that nostalgia for Initial-D, there's nothing compared to driving the little car on those mountains and all those little curves. It's such an experience.
Also, you get to play Tokyo Drift out loud on the speaker.
Yes, that was an experience.
And do some karaoke in the car. So out of all the trips you have done so far, which one would you say was the most memorable? Which one would you recommend to our listeners?
One trip that I really enjoy, we took a lot of different modes of transportation, was when we went to Matsumoto, which is a city that has a very famous castle about like 2-3 hours away from Tokyo.
The black one.
Yes. So we took the train there, and then we rented a car. We went and explored all the areas. We went to that famous lake that we mentioned from the Kimi no Nawa, Your Name Is. And then we took a Shinkansen from there, and we went...
Was it a Shinkansen?
It was a Shinkansen.
Oh, you remember so well.
Yes, we took a Shinkansen that went in the middle of the mountains and
nice.
Went to that amazing Magome Trail, which is like a place everyone coming to Japan with a bit more spare time has to go.
Yes. Or anybody who likes hiking.
Yes, it is this little town, a postal town in the middle of the mountains of Japan. Mm-hmm. And from there, you can take a trail that goes like a very ancient trail.
No, 7 kilometers.
Yes, and it's such a beautiful place. You have to be careful of the bears.
Yes, there were bear bells everywhere that you have to ring if you go on the trail, just to make sure that the bears know you're coming so that they, I guess, can either be informed of snack time or leave the area.
Yeah, the idea is to scare them, but we were making so much sound, we weren't scaring them already. But I think that's a very memorable trip that you can explore all the means of transportation. So we had the car, we had the train, we had the Shinkansen, and we walk in the middle of the trails. It was a really, really beautiful place.
That's the reason why we actually opted for the Shinkansen and we didn't take the car there, because there was the 7 kilometer trail between the two post towns that we wanted to do, which would have not worked out with the car at all. So, that was really nice. It was between Magomejuku and Tsumagojuku, I think.
Yes.
So that's most definitely agreed one of my favorite trips in Japan.
And thinking of the future, where are you planning to go next?
I think I might finally go to Takayama, which is kind of the same in the middle of the mountains. There's a really nice historical town, I want to say, like really beautiful buildings, but it's kind of underrated and it's kind of hard to get to. So what I'm planning again is to just take the train out of Tokyo, rent a car, drive through the mountains to reach Takayama, and then look at all the beautiful sights Takayama has to offer. And then you can kind of combine it with the area around it as well. So, for example, you could go to, what's it called? Gero Onsen, I think. That's kind of in the area. So by car, you can just a little side trip.
One final thing to mention is that when you're doing these trips and you want to do some side exploration, you have a lot of passes in Japan. Train passes, for example, that they are for certain areas. So you have the Sendai train pass, you have the JR East, the JR West, you have the Sapporo pass. And with those, you get, let's say, for 2 or 3 days, unlimited train rides in certain areas. So it's really good when you're going to, let's say, you want to visit a small city and then you want to go to another area by train. So if you're going to, let's say, take a weekend or a holiday to spend 2-3 days in one area and you just want to travel around and see many different places, it's a really not only convenient but also cheaper way of traveling.
Yes.
I took one when I went to Hokkaido. And I could travel like across the entire island of Hokkaido in a very, I went, you know. So from Sapporo, I went to Otaru, which is this beautiful port town. And then all across the island, I went to the other side to go to Jikokudani, which is this place where have the mountains and the fumes. So you get all this experience by one fixed price. And, you know, you don't have to worry about buying one ticket. You can ride any train that is within that area. Is very convenient, very cheap, and I recommend to everyone.
Speaking of, maybe one thing we should also mention is if you rent a car, the car rental itself may be cheap, and the gas is pretty cheap as well, but there are highway tolls.
Yes.
So you can avoid them by just taking local streets and local highways, but there are toll roads in Japan. There are a lot of toll roads in Japan. And it can be quite a pain to stop at every one of them and pay in cash. So I have an ETC card, which just automatically takes the money from my credit card. But that can actually get quite expensive as well. So you should definitely be careful with the highway tolls.
Or invite your friends so they pay for you the tolls while you drive.
Or that.
Yeah, that's the approach I take.
Thank you very much, Felipe, for telling us about your experiences. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining today. If you have any questions or feedback regarding what we talked about today, please send an email to podcast@gogonihon.com. Or if you're interested in learning Japanese in Japan, visit our website, gogonihon.com. We hope you tune in again for the next episode. Mata ne!